Please welcome Tim Crowley.
Once a month, my Boy Scout troop used to climb into this convoy of station wagons, pickup trucks, and big 1970s family sedans. And then we'd go blitzkrieging into some unsuspecting campground or trailhead somewhere, and 15 to 30 adolescent boys would storm out into the wilderness, shattering any semblance of silence or solitude. And the only thing keeping us from devolving into Lord of the Flies was a handful of dads. Camping was cool, but I loved the backpacking. It was fun and challenging, and it was practice for our 50-miler, the week-long trip through the Sierras that we took every summer. But after I quit the Boy Scouts, I didn't think about the mountains or backpacking again until my freshman year. I had three really close friends in high school. We were a subset of the Stoner Clique. We were the Stony Mountaineers. But not at first. We used to just hang around and smoke and get high in those weird places young people find to get high in the city. But sometimes I'd talk about backpacking and climbing, and then one of my friends got a car and said, "Let's go to the mountains." And I had never even thought of that because I always associated the mountains with dads and station wagons. But from then on, the mountains would mean marijuana and Lord of the Flies. The mountains would mean marijuana or Lord of the Flies. And our little day trips soon evolved into weekend backpacking trips in our local mountains. And during the summer and spring break, we would go to the Sierra Nevada. And when I wasn't in the Sierra, I was thinking about them. I spent hours and hours alone in my room, poring over maps and staring at pictures of their peaks and valleys in books and old issues of National Geographic. And the Sierra are a world-class mountain range, but as mountains go, they are young, no more than 10 million years old. And like all young things, they are still growing, 1 or even 2 millimeters per year, which means in 3 million years, the Sierra Nevada will be Himalayan in scope, and their peaks will rival Everest. Unfortunately, I will be way too old to climb any of them by then. Fortunately, I've already climbed quite a few of them, from the semi-desert Olancha Peak Domeland Wilderness in the south to the High Sierra Backcountry in Kings Canyon and Sequoia National Parks. And then there is Yosemite, that crown jewel of the Sierra Nevada, the place where that mountain chain siren song must originate, because I kept going back there again and again like I was looking for something. I just didn't know what. And we didn't know where or how to find the Chilawana Trailhead on that hot August day in 1976. There was just a couple weeks of summer left, and we wanted to spend them in the southern Yosemite. We pulled into Wawona and got out of the car, and we're wandering around in our big packs looking for the trailhead. But we couldn't find it. Instead, we found a girl. A pretty young girl about our age, and she knew where the trailhead was. So she showed us the way, and when we finally got there, we all got high, and we said goodbye, and we watched my friends walk away into the wilderness. And then me and her walked into the forest. And afterwards, I walked her back towards her cabin, but I didn't walk out of the woods like an animal afraid to be seen. But we met again after dark, and afterwards, I walked right up to her cabin because it was dark, and I wandered around the stream, and I looked at the Wawona Dome glowing in the moonlight until I sneaked back into the woods in that sun-dappled moonlight, and I fell asleep thinking of her and thinking of the mountains and thinking about her in the mountains. And the next morning, she led me up the Chilawana Falls Trail, the same trail that my friends had walked up. And we walked right past a beautiful swimming hole carved out of solid granite. And I cannot resist a place to swim in the wilderness. But she said, "No, not yet." And she led me higher. And we walked past two other idyllic spots. And then she led me off the trail into paradise. A big, secluded, deep granite swimming hole with waterfalls flowing in and flowing out and ledges you could jump off of and a couple secluded sandy beaches. And we swam and made love and got high and made love. And I remember her sun-bleached hair and smooth skin against that smooth Sierra granite, and her hair glowing like a halo against that cloudless blue Sierra sky. And then we walked up to another swimming hole, and we did it all over again. And we spent the rest of that morning and most of the afternoon making love and smoking marijuana and swimming in the pools of the Chilliwana. And there were a lot of pools. There were so many pools that in less than 24 hours, I went from virginity to either sexual dysfunction or sexual exhaustion. But we swam and we sunned and we talked and we walked back towards her cabin and she invited me to dinner and we walked up onto her porch and I had my backpack on like some kind of domesticated animal and I met her mother. And her mom met me, the nice, polite, long-haired young man that her daughter had brought home from the mountains, and she didn't invite me to dinner. But her daughter invited me into their yard where I fired up my little Svea 123 stove and she watched while I made dinner and she brought me food from the house. And we agreed that I'd stay for another day. And then we went for a walk and watched the Wawona Dome turn orange then gray as the sun went away. And we went back into the woods to the same place we had the night before. But now I was experienced. And the next day, we did it all over again. And we made love one last time that next night and promised that we would see each other again. And I woke up and rose on the third day before the sun, because that's what you do when you're alone in the mountains. And I walked up that trail past the swimming holes and the waterfalls, and I found my friends, and the summer ended, and they went back to school. But I didn't have to, because I had already graduated. And she and me wrote poetry and letters to each other. And I could have gone and visited her because I was free, but instead I thumbed up to Yosemite, where I spent a night alone on top of Half Dome, and I watched the sun set behind the mountains, and I never saw her again. And I don't get to the Sierra much anymore, but sometimes I can still hear them calling, just not as loud or as often as I used to. And that's probably because now the Sierra are a part of me. They shaped and formed me the way glaciers shaped and formed the Yosemite Valley. The way the glaciers formed the Yosemite Valley. And I would like to think that I am a part of the Sierra too, because I didn't lose my virginity on that hot August afternoon 41 years ago. I've let it go. And I'd like to think of it still wandering around, forever young and forever free, to roam and climb in those growing young mountains that someday will soar 20,000 feet and more into that blue Sierra sky. Thank you.